Hey folks, Josh here. This fall at Gen Con, the largest tabletop gaming convention in the world, our show will be hosting its very first live recording session, taking place August 2nd at 8 p.m. in the Crown Plaza Hotel in Indianapolis. This show will include a one-time recording of a What's in the Rift one-shot, as well as a prize drawing amongst ticketed guests where we'll be handing out exclusive What's in the Rift Gen Con 2024 custom t-shirts, as well as a Cortex Prime RPG handbook signed by the system's creator, Cam Banks. Tickets are $6 and available via Gen Con's events page. You can find more information and a link to the sales portal at rift.show/live. We can't wait to see you there.
Rusty Quill presents.
A quick note for today's show. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, we were unable to secure a voice recording that would work for the show for our character Dima, which means that you'll be subjected to the live recording of my voice playing the NPC for this episode and the remainder of the show. I want to thank the voice actor who portrayed Dima, Brady Flanagan, and recommend his show Rogue Life if you have not checked it out yet. All right, that's it. Enjoy the show. For the best listening experience, we recommend headphones.
Previously on What's in the Rift.
Gord, are you going somewhere?
Well, I'm going to get out of the building. You'll see there, I think, a gas leak of some sort, and it makes my eyes water and burn. You should probably not go in either.
What was it this time? Did you burst a pipe? Was it mustard gas?
Okay, it was me.
Cord, I know it
was
you.
Wait. No, go back to that last one.
Please, come with me.
Okay. But just because you are very confident and something seems wrong.
And Court will go over to Dima.
Let's drive like a mile and a half further. Then Blanche and Jenny can hide the truck while we go and see what we can see. Bruce, Jackie, and Tosca are going to go case the facility. Okay, Bruce, can you leave your phone with them?
Because you have a phone.
Or I can leave mine, either way. I don't really care.
Here, download this walkie-talkie app. I forget what it's called.
Here's my phone. The password is H-A-N-S.
Oh, it's literally called walkie-talkie. Download the walkie-talkie app.
I'll be safe. Whatever. Victoria, fucking, if you want to leave while I'm gone, that's fucking fine with me.
Okay,
and
fine.
I'm going to head off through the field.
Tosca, download the app.
Could I use 2 plot points to make somebody take in a smoke break with the door propped open?
Yeah, I think for 2 plot points, you could probably do that.
There's a door propped open. We're heading in.
What's in the Rift is intended for mature audiences. This show includes death, drug use, criminal activity, and a consistent undercurrent of existential dread. Any children discovered listening to this show will get the hammer.
We rejoin our story already in progress. Bruce, Jackie, and Tosca have approached the Manchester Center for Study from the adjoining woods. Tosca and Jackie wear the black jumpsuits stolen from the UCRI van they'd captured in Orlando, while Bruce walks nervously between them. As they near the building, they have conjured a man exiting for a smoke break, leaving the door propped open. They approach cautiously.
This looks like one of your kind of guys. You want to chat him up and we'll sneak through the door?
Is chatting him up the best idea when we have awesome batons?
Ask about to murder somebody?
Not murder this time, Whiteley May.
Oh, that's so okay. Much better.
How do we know that's not going to make some noise?
Anyone letting your friends know what's going on?
Yeah.
We're gonna head inside. There's a guy on a smoke break. Peace out.
Okay, Jackie, you have a baton, I have a baton. So what I'm going to do is approach this person and try to bum a cigarette off of them.
I told you he seemed like your kind of guy.
Okay.
And while I'm doing that, if things look like they might get out of hand, just, you know, go up behind him. And I will keep him occupied, and we can just solve this with violence.
Okay, hold on. Let me get an understanding of what you're suggesting here. The three of you are standing 50 yards away from a man on a smoke break. 50 yards is 150 feet, and it would be very invisible from where he is at what you're doing. You're suggesting you walk up to him alone, and the other two circle around inconspicuously and get him if something goes awry?
I mean, when you put it like that. Okay, all right, fuck it. Since we can't be sneaky, let's just all head up to this guy and see how shit goes.
Okay. You approach across the narrow strip of parking lot on the side of the building, and the second that your feet hit that pavement, this guy looks up and looks back down at his phone briefly and then stands up and puts in his pocket and kind of tips the cigarette towards you and nods. And he goes,
I'm doing the finger thing, like the two fingers, like indicating to him that I would love to have a cigarette.
He nods at you and again says, Morning. Morning.
Morning, man.
You got a badge in at the front.
Yeah, no, I came out to actually hunt for a cigarette.
Yeah, we just want to smoke.
Okay, officer.
Yeah.
Just want to smoke.
What was our reasoning to send Bruce?
You have them marijuana kids are using nowadays?
Is that grass?
The devil's lettuce? Oh. You know, I used ketamine once.
Sometimes I take an extra Advil.
He reaches back into the pocket that he just dropped the phone into and pulls out a pack, a green pack of something, and knocks it against the wrist of the hand holding the cigarette a couple times and then flips the lid open and holds it out.
Things are getting real expensive. I get it. I should probably quit myself, but if you guys have quit, I feel... I mean, just tell me you're not quit and I'm like helping you start again, right?
No. I would never quit smoking.
Yeah, okay. Do it
Bruce,
all
let
the
me handle
time.
This. Bruce. Bruce, please.
Just trying to fit in, okay? He just wants to be cool.
I am going to bitch
Bruce
about the fact.
So
Bruce is
about
gently.
Being included.
Yeah, he's rubbing the stubble on his chin really aggressively.
Bruce, you're such a bad boy.
I love it. It's like candy.
Come on, me, dog.
I fucking love you, Bruce.
Oh, God.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to take the cigarette from him, ask him for a lighter because I don't have one, and just light it up and immediately hand it to Bruce for him to take a hit.
Oh, this is how you do it?
You're
yeah.
like the high
right
school...
Right on, man.
Right on, man. Bruce is like an
no,
eighth grader.
You have
grader.
To inhale, Bruce.
Oh, my God.
Bruce, this is going to be a D10 challenge.
Not
to hack your lungs out and give us away. Damn it.
So, we are going to use the court is captured crisis again. That is...
God, you're not fucking with me?
I am not fucking with you.
Remember when I said that we shouldn't do it for the meme?
Remember when I said that I was going to?
I unfortunately do. All right, kids.
All right,
smoking
Bruce,
is
you
bad.
Got this, dude. You just puff in your mouth and then inhale it.
You have to beat a 16.
Oh, Jesus.
Holy fuck.
You've been whispering
to smoke a
into
fucking
the
cigarette.
Just open up your esophagus into your stomach and inhale the smoke into there, and you'll be fine.
It's Bruce's first cigarette, I have to imagine.
Yes, indeed.
It counts as nutrition.
Yeah.
So I'm going to obviously use Consummate Nerd.
Okay.
I'm going to use the relationship to Tosca because Bruce is so aspiring to be cool like him.
Okay.
Hell yeah, bro.
Oof. Going to use self-preservation because he's going to try to not hack a lung out.
Sure.
And maintain that cool.
It's like literally impossible.
And artist trying to...
Sure.
Live that cool musician life.
Yeah. I just want to remind you that you could step up any of these dice with a plot point.
I don't have any more plot points.
If you hadn't spent two to put this guy out here to have this challenge in the first place.
All because I handed you a cigarette. Fuck, Bruce.
Okay.
You know what?
All right.
I'm going to actually step down one of these die to gain a plot point.
What?
So I'm going to step down this D8.
Oh, I like
it. Make it a D4.
I'm going to have to punch this motherfucker. I can feel it.
Okay.
Can you use that plot point in this turn, though?
No.
That seems bad.
So as this guy is staring at this interaction, I'm going to try to subtly position myself out of his direct line of sight, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that distraction plan we talked about?
Yeah, I'm just causing a distraction. Okay, here we go.
Come on, Bruce.
Okay. That is a 14.
Fuck.
Bruce, you take the cigarette awkwardly. You hold it between your thumb and your forefinger. And you bring
it up. He's actually
holding
it with all his fingers.
Two hands, baby.
Two hands.
You want to drop it. They're dangerous.
I start a fire if I drop
that. Is this how you get hand cancer?
A squirrel might pick it up and become addicted.
Okay. Bruce, you grab this cigarette from Tosca and you grab it awkwardly with all four of your fingers laid across the top of it and your thumb laying underneath it. And it
Jesus
slides
Christ.
Down your thumb and to the point that you're almost gripping it in a closed fist. Before you open your hand up and hold it awkwardly in the crotch of your thumb in your palm. You raise it to your lips, not adjusting it at all, and attempt to take a drag. And the feeling that you get almost immediately is of expansion. It feels like something is pushing out from the inside of your esophagus. And as it leaks its way into your lungs, despite you trying your best not to let it hit, you can feel almost like tiny little daggers all over the top of your lung that feel good. They feel real good for
oh,
that
no, he's
fraction
addicted.
Of
no.
a second.
I'm addicted!
Please screen that.
Tosca, I'm addicted!
Oh, God. And you don't even get a chance to cough before you scream that out and expel the entire burst of smoke with it. The man who had handed the cigarette to Tosca stops mid-motion in offering another cigarette to Tosca, seeing him having handed it off, and stares at you.
Okay.
Do not pay any attention to this guy. This is just a funny little joke between them. See, this guy right here, he's a real square. So I thought it would be funny to hand him a cigarette. That obviously wasn't funny.
Hand me
now
a square,
thinks,
right?
Yeah, hand him a square, exactly. And now
yeah.
he's addicted. So
That's funny. That's funny.
Not bad, right?
I was trying to catch your name because I mean I like funny guys. Where's your badge?
It's in my back pocket here.
Okay.
But can like, do you have the authority to ask for my? I thought badges were like a very personal thing around here. That's what I was told.
I thought we were.
I was
a
told that we
cool
keep
guys.
Our IDs to
excuse
ourselves.
Me, excuse me.
Yeah.
UCRI handbooks state that secure door policy. Anyone approaching a door should be prepared.
Me
to
and you,
a badge.
Bro, we're all right, right?
I'm sorry. That's day one stuff.
I'm gonna step up and slightly squeeze the handle and press it to his back.
We'll do a roll for this, okay? This is gonna be a D6 challenge because he is very involved in this conversation right now. I am going to include the crisis.
Of course you are.
You have a 9 that you need to beat.
I'm going to use Against the Odds Survivor. My relationship with Tosca. Self-preservation.
Okay.
And Scoundrel.
Okay.
And then I would also like to step one down for a plot point.
All right, sure.
14.
That's a heroic success. Let me know how this happens.
But I have a 1.
Well, your heroic success can offset that 1 if you want, and we can just turn this into a normal success.
Okay, I would like to do that.
Jackie, you round this guy as he's asking to see Tosca's badge, and you've spent a lot of time having to be wary around people desperate for whatever kind of resources that they can grab. You know what it's like to be in decisive situations, and your sense of self-preservation kicks in, and almost instinctually you reach out to hit this man with the baton at your side. You smack him across the back of the leg, and he tenses in that same way that you saw Blanche tense, and he falls to the ground stiff, mid-sentence, asking for Tosca's badge. The door is ajar, and you are now all three standing outside having a cigarette next to this facility.
Bruce takes a victory smoke.
And I can assure you, Bruce, that you are not addicted. It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
Why did I want to do this again?
To be cool, man.
Yeah, man.
Bruce, God. You exhale your second ever puff of a cigarette, and I have to imagine you cough a little bit, but that's not what's remarkable about the situation. Even standing here a good 15 feet away from the door, as you exhale, that air is sucked in towards the open door.
Can I just say that it would be awesome if this started Bruce's descent into bad boyhood? By the end of What's in the Rift, he's a fucking nightmare.
The fuck hands. That's right, I said his name wrong too.
Stupid ass kid.
I'm gonna say fuck you on his knuckles.
Yep. All right. We have another member of the party, though, to get back to. Court. You find yourself in this conference room with Dima yet again. After proposing to you directly that you come with him to Chicago, he lays out a long list of reasons that you would be better housed and cared for there. He lets you know that the facilities in Chicago are nearer to the research lab and to the people studying what is wrong with you. That he has the means and the goodwill of the administration there to have basically every accommodation that you need taken care of, make your time at these facilities more comfortable. And Dima, through all of this, espouses to you that Chicago is a healthy and safe place for you to help the entirety of the world with the problem that they're dealing with.
Court, it is important that you understand that while your case is unique somewhat, Studying you is perhaps one of the only ways that we will ever know what is exactly happening to the rest of us. If we cannot get this under control, I fear that one day there will be an event that will wipe out all semblance of life as we know it. That something will happen where there will be no going back. There will be no recovery. There may be no more world at all. I think if we all end up like you, the world would probably be worse off. Don't you agree?
Oh, no, I agree. If everyone was like me right now, I think there would be a lot of problems.
You have no idea.
Your conversation with Dima has gone on for possibly 3 or 4 hours now. It's hard to tell because this conference room that you're in does not have a clock. But what it does have is a window. And over the course of the last 20 minutes or so, you've seen the sunrise. And you're starting to feel those first licks of euphoria from forgoing sleep long enough that you very much have the sense of being high right now.
Oh, okay, so I'm not crazy. Okay, that's good.
What do you mean you're not going crazy?
Oh, so a little while ago, I tried sleeping, just like of my own volition, and it almost worked. It was kind of creepy, actually. But now I am starting to feel a rush, so that means that it is not all just in my head. Well, I mean, it is in my head, but like more of a chemical thing.
Well, hold tight 1 second, Court.
Oh, no.
Dima stands up and walks over to the soft briefcase that he had brought with him and had left on a chair in the corner of the room. He unzips it and pulls out a manila envelope, brings it back to the table, opens the top, and pulls out a stack of papers. He starts riffling through these papers until he pulls out a sheet on which appears to be a long scrawl of handwritten notes. And he says,
correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Long bouts of sleeplessness make you feel euphoric, almost drunk or high or otherwise inebriated.
Yes. Although no one else seems to be feeling that way, and I've seen a lot of people stay up for a very long time recently.
Yes. You believe that you are being pursued?
Oh, yes. But that has nothing to do with the sleeplessness. That has something out there. It's a little creepy, honestly, and why I really didn't want to go into the woods alone last night.
You do not sleep. You do not rest. If you are experiencing stress, if you are exhibiting avoidant behaviors, and you believe that this gives you a sense of euphoria, yes?
Oh, well, I mean, when you put it that way, it sounds kind of bad, but yeah.
And you have, I don't know how, I am not Helena. I will not be as kind about these words as she is. But you have paranoid delusions about being pursued by a supernatural creature that can change its shape and form and assumes the voice of a man.
Mm-hmm.
Is all this correct?
Oh, yes, that is all correct. And don't worry, you handled it very well.
Great. Court.
Mm-hmm.
Have you asked yourself yet why I would know these things?
From the sound of it and from the looks of the paper, there is a very extensive dossier about me. Apparently I've been here for a while. So I'm guessing those are Helen notes?
Yes, these are Helen notes. In court, I apologize for what I'm about to say to you, as this may be a little difficult for you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is shapeshifters, sometimes it is ghosts. Mm-hmm. You have a predilection for spooky stories. It's part of what has made you more dangerous than your peers. You and your friends are dangerous.
Oh, no.
I worry that all of you may infect the rest of the world to become more like you. The recent aphasia is bad, very bad. I worry that things will continue to get worse. But I also assure you that this is not the first time that you and I have had a conversation like this. It just so happens to be the time when my patience is starting to run very thin.
As he says this, you hear a noise in the hallway. And as you look out through the open door, you see somebody being dragged by their heels. They're wearing the same white dress shirt and white dress slacks. And they have a large frame and a scraggly mop of hair atop their head. And you see Jeff being dragged through the hall. Obviously dead.
Okay, so now we have a problem.
I would agree. I have some questions for you, Court.
I don't feel like answering them now.
Would you say the truth matters?
Court stays silent.
There's beauty in truth, Court. There's beauty in the simplicity, in the elegance of truth. No snarls of nice fictions that we tell ourselves, no tangles of fabrication. A truth is a line. One thing happens because another thing happens, and there is no prevarication of narrative to follow it up. Stories, no matter how pleasant, only serve to obscure the beauty of truth. This world used to know that, Court. The problem is that the world does not seem to agree any longer.
This cultural aphasia that we have been talking to you about, this is a child's problem. Everyone is so wrapped up in your stories. I miss the world that this was before your interdimensional time-jumping bullshit. You've cost us truth, Court. Do you understand? You have cost us our own truth. Every time one of you decides that playtime is over, every new story you spin pollutes this world with your horrible ideas. Have you been useful in the past? Sure. We've even sought out some of the things that you all have invented. But the trash, the absolute garbage that you bring with it, is regrettable. You're all so in love with your own stories because that's how you've chosen to understand the world around you. Helen. Sweet but naive. She thought we could retrieve you all in a more humane manner. That we could even convince you that what was happening was dangerous. And that you might agree to help us, even. As you should. I was meant to observe this attempt. That is why I'm here. But your little escape just proves that even given perfectly accommodating approach, you're all inherently selfish and only care for yourselves. You are fouled, Court. You have been rewritten too many times and not for the better. So now we find a way to end it once and for all. Instead of sedation and warehousing yet again, we all know how that ends. Just more of you. Always more of you. You are like cockroaches. Do you understand yet?
You have been here before. You have been to all of these facilities before. You have been to Chicago before. These facilities exist because of you and your friends. Every action has consequences, Court. Every story you tell has consequences. Do I really have to explain this all again?
No, I think you have made your point. Like you said, every action has consequences. And what you did to Jeff just killed any chance of me being cooperative with you. So fuck you and the horse you ride in on.
Fair, court, fair. All of this, fair. You don't like me? I don't like you. The problem is that you seem to all forget that my business is academia. There should be some solace in all this for you, Court, I suppose. Your friends do care about you. They're currently about to attempt a rescue. All of you ended up here anyway. It saves me the mess of having to track you all down.
Dima pauses and flips open his phone and turns it towards you so that you can see the screen there.
Do you know what this is, Court?
I actually have very poor eyesight. Can you get it a little bit closer?
He puts his hand on his phone and he says,
you'll have to take my word for it then. This is a live feed, Court. I can see on here... Oh, that would appear to be Bruce. Of course, we all remember Bruce. And Jackie... Or who is the third person here, Court?
Oh, let me think. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I think that is my friend Libo Jen.
Oh, fuck yeah, Court.
Dima leans back a bit, closes the phone up, and turns around and says,
no matter. I would assume that you have made others similarly polluted as you.
Josh, can I ask a question about this room?
Yeah, absolutely.
Since this is a government building, is there a fire release in this room?
There's an alarm in this room.
Yes.
If you want to pull that again.
100% I do.
Okay.
When he goes to put the phone back, the moment he like looks down to guide it to the pocket, I am rushing to pull that.
He turns his back to you, actually, when he puts the phone in his pocket. And... you get up at that point to pull the fire alarm?
Yep.
Okay. There's no roll necessary. It's just you and him in the room, and he's not currently looking at you. You stand up, you pull that fire alarm, and nothing happens. Dima, still looking away from you, speaks to the far wall.
You all seem to think that we are new to this. I guess it is for the best. It's just disappointing that you have such a low esteem for academia this time around.
I came from a circus.
You know what the purpose of academia is, Court? Our entire purpose is to know. Tosca, Jerzy Jejos Dias.
And through the door steps the man that looks exactly like the Tosca that you know. And he stands and holds open the door as Dima goes to leave. He turns at the door to you, Court, and says to you,
I suppose you all learn this lesson soon enough. We know you. We will always know you. And we will always bring you back to heal.
Can my Tosca alter ego just punch the fuck out of this guy?
Oh, yeah. Can Joseph control him?
The door closes behind you. He does not wait for a response. Court, you're left alone in the room with this man that looks exactly like Tosca. Dima had just spoken to him in Russian, to the best of your knowledge. I mean, I don't know if you know Russian or not.
Nope.
But that's a freebie. Meanwhile... I want to know what's going on with the back door.
We're going to enter the building, right?
I'm enjoying my fucking cigarette.
No.
Which I picked off this guy's body after he was laying on the ground. Actually, I picked up his lit cigarette and started smoking.
Yeah.
Have any of you moved to the door?
Yes.
We were, what, 15 feet away?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bruce took his victory puff and then tossed it aside like he was fucking Judd Nelson in the Breakfast Club.
Okay.
So how visible is this man now on the ground from this point?
Yeah, we got to do something about this body.
Yeah, guys, we either have to, like, hide him, put him somewhere. Pretty sure we can't just leave him right here.
You're not certain what, if anything, you know, what effects this is going to have long term on this guy. All you know is that he looks right. like Blanche did when she was down. And that whole thing lasted a few minutes at most. It was, what, maybe 10 minutes?
So he's probably going to come to at some point, and we definitely don't want that to be happening while we're in the middle of stuff.
Should we kick him in the head? Just once?
No, like no, we should not kick him in the head.
Holy crunch, Tosca!
Look, look, I am
maybe
pragmatic.
Gag him and tie him up and...
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Dash him somewhere? Isn't there a parking lot right across from us? Maybe we could, like, put him in a trunk.
Is there a dumpster nearby? Can we just toss him in the dumpster?
You wanna...
We could probably
put a human being in a dumpster?
Hold on. I want you guys to slow down for a second and consider what I just told you. You have maybe 10 minutes of unconsciousness in this guy.
Yeah.
Do you think that, spending that the majority of that 10 minutes leveraging him into a dumpster is the correct play?
No, I think we should just head in.
Okay.
Yeah, let's leave this fucking guy here and go in.
Are there some bushes near the wall? Maybe we could just move him out of sight real fast.
All three of you want to pick up this roughly 170, 180 pound man and drag him into the bushes? You can.
All right. Bruce takes the pack of cigarettes, though.
Hell yeah, he does.
Okay.
What will Angie think?
So are we moving him, or are we just going to try to dash in?
I say we just dash in. Like, at this point, here's the deal. At this point, we've already knocked a dude out, an employee security, something like that, and we're on the countdown now to find Court before anything occurs.
Yeah, we had an open
because
door.
To our knowledge, nothing has yet.
We don't know how long it'll be till someone else comes to this door, too.
Right.
The door is still there. You can feel it tugging on your clothes, the amount of negative pressure in this doorway. You have to make a decision because, like I said, the clock is ticking. If you remember how we played the helicopter scene, we're going to be doing the same thing here, which the time that you have is the time that you get.
Okay, let's go. Yeah. What do we see when we get inside?
You swing open the door, and it's a bit of a struggle as the door opens outward. It takes some strength to get the door leveraged open. And there's a short hallway here, no more than 6-7 feet, but overhead is a very large grate. And that grate has that same amount of negative pressure coming through it. And it is sucking the air straight up overhead. At the far end of the short hallway, there is what appears to be a thick metal door.
Okay, we're going that way, right?
The first thing that you notice about this door approaching it is that there is a black badge reader to the side of it.
Shit.
Oh yeah, we probably should have taken that guy's badge.
Let's grab the guy's badge, then we'll come back in.
4 minutes to get in before he's up.
Yes,
you go back, you grab the badge, you pull it off of him, and you head back inside.
Yeah, and we're sprinting.
Okay. You swipe the badge at the reader. The door buzzes. You pull it open. What you pull it open to is a large, large room. It is dark, save for a few lights around the edges of the room that appear to illuminate what may be gurneys. It's difficult to tell from this distance.
Did you say gurneys?
Yeah, they appear to be like some type of like bed, like a medical bed almost.
Okay.
And it's like dawn still?
It is.
So people could just be waking up if they're residents there.
This is strange.
3 minutes before the guy wakes up.
Did we dare try a spirit radio to locate Court? Or does that take too much time?
I say we get as far away from this guy before we do anything else. At least get far enough in the building. Okay, so we're going to continue on, Josh.
You move deeper into the room, and you can hear your footsteps echoing on the distant walls. The strange thing to you about this is the expanse of it, given what it appeared to be from the outside. You saw windows on the outside, and when you go back to check what is behind you, you can see that each one of those windows has been painted over. that this room is seemingly intentionally kept dark. You move deeper towards the far wall where you can see what appears to be an exit sign over that door. Are you doing anything else in this room before you progress?
I want to run by one of those gurney things and see if there's a person in it.
It's a ways off if you want to do that. Think about it like if you were in a grocery store. Uh-huh. You're talking about standing in the middle of the grocery store and these gurneys are lined up along the edges of the wall.
So our only option is to head toward the door as quickly as possible.
It's your call.
Yeah, let's head towards the door.
Yeah, agreed. You, Jackie?
Yeah, are there beds along like all the walls towards the one we're headed towards?
So if you want a more detailed sense of the layout of the room, I will need a roll.
Yes, I would like to do that.
Okay, we'll pause time here for this roll. This is going to be a D6 challenge to get a better sense of the room around you. There's no crisis die attached to this.
Okay.
You gotta be shitting me. That's 2 sixes.
Damn it, Josh.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on.
I told everyone else to whisper to their dice. Not you.
I didn't. So you're misdirecting your energy. Somewhere.
Damn it. Let's do against the odds.
Okay.
And... I think I will use Tosca's relationship again.
Okay.
And then pragmatism.
All right.
Scoundrel for like being aware of my surroundings as moving. Does that work?
Sure.
And then I am going to step down one for another plot point.
Okay. Give me that roll. Beat your 12.
Three of the dice have twos on them.
Okay.
Yes, I got 6.
Jackie, you do your best to get a sense of the scale of the room and the layout. As you're moving towards the far door, you spin around, walk backwards briefly, and then spin back. But the problem is that with the sparse lighting, the overall odd sense of the atmosphere in here and everything else that is just seemingly designed to throw you off of your senses, you can't really get any reliable gauge of what is going on in here. What you do know is that this room is unusually cold for an interior room, and whatever is happening back here doesn't feel like it is wholly connected to the rest of the building. You reach the far door, and again, you see a badge reader. You badge again, and the door swings open. And now, in front of you, you see a much more familiar-looking, bland, plain hallway. A hallway that reeks of hospital or clinic or some type of institutional facility.
Was there any smell in the other room that we noticed?
Yes. It was a faint antiseptic smell. A smell that was reminiscent of IV prep or alcohol swabs.
All right.
Lining this hallway, there are a number of doors. At the far end of the hall, at least as far as you can see, there appears to be a set of double doors, wooden, with small slit windows inlaid on the interior portion. Above that, there is some type of signage, but you're a little bit too far to make it out clearly. What do you do? Still no resistance that you've seen.
Are there windows along the hall? You could see.
Unfortunately, no. The doors here are solid wood doors. There are some placards on a few of the doors, but not every door is labeled.
This feeling strange to anyone else?
Very.
Definitely. It doesn't look like a prison, but it doesn't look like a hospital. I don't know where to expect Court to be.
Well, we're in a fucked up predicament in that we started a series of events that we did not necessarily think through, so I say we just keep going.
Might as well.
Where to?
Straight through the door where you said there was a door with the exit sign, right?
Mm-hmm. You push your way up to the door at the far end of the hall. And as you approach, the sign above it becomes more apparent. The sign, as you see it, causes you to falter in your step a bit, because it appears that there's a little bit of poetry written above the door. It reads, "Sands diverge, stars converge, yet we drift apart."
Wacky Bobo. The poem is in the building.
I repeat,
the poem is in the building. Over and out.
The poem? What poem?
The stars converge deal.
Wait, what? The graffiti from the...
Yes, the graffiti.
Why would it be in there? That's really weird.
And we're in this huge room, and there's, like, fucking people. We're still walking while we're talking, by the way, Josh.
Okay, you get to that door.
Well, haven't we gone to the end of the hall? We want to go
through
it? That's
why it's a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, got him. We're going to go through that door, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you guys found Court yet?
No. I haven't found a single person since we've been inside.
All we've done is shot
over
somebody
and out.
For a cigarette. Over and out.
I look at Blanche.
By this point, you should be used to my antics.
I'm addicted. Over and out.
Oh my goodness.
Be careful, guys.
You open the doors at the end of this hallway, and you step through. This hallway, you feel like you know, Bruce. This hallway feels familiar. Jackie, you get the same sensation.
Is it the familiar sensation like I suddenly remembered?
Like deja vu?
You don't remember anything in particular, but there's something that is... Have you ever felt somebody staring at you before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You felt that sense of, like, something...
Someone walking on your grave.
Yeah, that there's something amiss, something unnatural happening. It's the sense that something is awry, something is amiss. And as you're walking down this hallway, maybe not at quite the same pace that you were before... The one thing that is standing out to both Bruce and Jackie as they move is the numbers on the doors. You see the numbers 0067. A few doors pass, more numbers. Another one seems to jump out at you. 1033. You arrive at one, and Bruce... Something about this sequence of numbers makes you feel worse than the cigarette ever did. You pass by a room that's marked 7211, and you immediately feel deeply sick to your stomach. This room feels bad to you.
Do I need to smoke another cigarette? Do you start to feel sick? I'm not getting a good feeling.
You stand briefly. It interrupts your gait, Bruce. And it's at that moment that the double doors at the far end of this hall open. The doors that you just... walk through, in fact. And as you turn around, you see a man in a long black overcoat with shoulder length dark hair, with his arms raised up to either side of him, approaching you.
Bruce. Jackie. Welcome home.
This has been What's in the Rift. If you enjoyed our show, please remember to rate and review on your favorite podcast platforms. If you really enjoyed our show, You can support us directly via Patreon or join our Discord. Both links can be found at whatsintherift.com.
What's in the Rift is brought to you by Gas Station Drugs.